This is a special Independence Anniversary presentation of yours truly, Olga, for broadcast on November the 30th from 2 minutes after 5 to 5:30 p.m. in 5 seconds from now. Hello everyone, this is yours truly, Olga. While we are celebrating the third anniversary of independence for Barbados, let's give ourselves some serious thoughts. And this can be found in our opening verse, Ideals to Live By. If we would live, not merely drift, we must have ideals that will lift our eyes above the staid routine to see with faith those things unseen, to vision that integrity that walks with men most truly free, to ever heed the still small voice above the crowd's demanding choice. Good teaching, therefore, will unite ideals and learnings and bind them tight, that growth of true nobility shall keep the mind and spirit free, to build in every neighborhood a common ground of brotherhood.
Because all men are brothers, wherever men may be, one union shall unite us forever proud and free. No tyrant shall defeat us, no nation strike us down. All men who toil shall greet us, the whole wide world around.
My brothers are all others, forever hand in hand, where chimes the bell of freedom,
point in our celebrating the past and to the point where we've come, we have to consider following through. And you know, many a brilliant plan has come to nothing because the person who thought it up lacked the zeal or courage to put it across. Many a fine idea has died at birth because its parent put off the job of starting to rear it. Merely to step upon the stage does not make a great actor or actress. To be given a chair at a desk does not make an expert businessman. To be given a place at a factory bench does not make a skillful mechanic. A person may have had an impressive array of excellent grades on his compositions in school, but when he sits down to write his first business letter, he is still a novice. He may have majored in bricklaying at a technical school, but he still must serve his apprenticeship. And this introduces the follow-through. The solemnity of graduation symbolizes the end of preparation. Now is the time for energetic doing if one is to make life worth living. The machinery of theory and the stock of knowledge gained hitherto must terminate in the cutting edge of direct action. One is always starting from where one is now. One must have some destination one wishes to reach and then step out. To daydream about far-off places and great achievements can be inspiring, but you must come back to the reality of this starting place. Great men have not been merely dreamers. They have returned from their visions to the practicalities of replacing the airy stones of their dream castles with solid masonry wrought by their hands. The sense of purpose, which we call ambition, is no mysterious gift. It is the imagination playing with future possibilities and telling us how to overcome the obstacles that lie between our starting place and their realization. Our ambition should be big enough to be a challenge to our powers. Only a shallow-brained person will aim at being the only figure among ciphers. One should seek to be eminent among people who count. Ambition should be big enough to give us room to expand. How does one go about the business of reaching the desired objective? There are five things to do. Fix your purpose. Make sure that it is the right one for you. Search out the ways by which you may reach it. Study the details about these ways. And get busy. It is a good thing that we so often have a feeling of incompletion, that we reach the end of a period with the feeling that we are at the beginning of a new one. We traverse a long path toward a desired end and arrive there, only to see another road passing into wider fields and beckoning us to things more wonderful than we could have imagined at our starting place. An ambitious man, more than others, sits lightly in his chair. He's ready to spring into action when action is required. Activity and the challenge of difficulties bring out the best of a man's qualities, because what he seeks is an opportunity to do his best. One necessary decision is to move forward. We cannot stand still. Progress may seem slight, and the horizon far away, and the port only a dot on our map. But so long as we complete a stage of the journey every year, steering by our star and making the most of wind and sail, we have cause for happiness. Many little things must be done to accomplish one big thing. It is a weak man who depends upon luck for his success. Distinction is not bestowed upon us by some favoring goddess. It is gained through search and work and adaptation of a man's powers to the conditions that surround him. Only when our calculations prove false and wisdom can teach us no more and our efforts have exhausted us without bringing us success, only then, said the wise Roman Emperor Hadrian, is it excusable to turn to the random twitter of birds or the distant mechanism of the stars seeking lucky omens. It has been said of a man who seized his opportunities with success that he stumbled on a good idea. There may be some truth in the comment, but the whole truth is that the moment of inspiration would not have come to him if he had not prepared himself for it. Pasteur once wrote that chance favors only the prepared mind. Nobody in this world ever gets anything for nothing. The sciences of business, sociology, medicine, and space travel have this in common. They are attempts to formulate a satisfactory balance between what is desired and the price to be paid for its attainment. it may be necessary to change our views in the process of following through to success. Among the most pitiful people are those who are trying to fight the 20th century, to live in a past age, to resist change, to refuse to adapt to it, is like holding your breath. If you persist, you kill yourself. In today's society, there is no fixed state, but only a changing pattern. But change is terrifying only to those who refuse to recognize it, who try to leave it out of account. At the bottom of the students' final examination papers, those young people could well write, "This is what looks true today, but tomorrow it may be something quite different." To follow through is to search for new ideas, to proceed from clumsiness to skill, to avoid complacency, to seek advancement, to look for a better way of doing things. And this involves making choices. A man is mature and free in the proportion to which his life is governed by his own choices, for maturity and freedom do not consist in doing as one pleases, but in doing what one chooses. In sheltered childhood and adolescence, we move in grooves according to custom and with parental guidance. Now, seemingly suddenly, we become aware for the first time of the burden of choice. We come into contact with people who try to persuade, cajole, seduce, shock, or dazzle us into accepting their views and following their plans. It is important to listen to them, for how else can we know between what courses we are choosing? But we should retain mobility of thought. There is nothing more certain in life than that we must make decisions. If we debate long about what to do, history is going on behind our backs. Things are changing. Our decision may be out of date before we reach it. Crowned king at a time when one swift blow would have scattered his foes and united his friends, Saul stood, like Hamlet, midway between his duty and his task, and indecision slew him. Almost any decision that jogs us out of our abstractions is a good one. If we stay shut up in our thoughts, we shall never grow, and growth is one of the tests of development. Having got one idea upon its feet, we should swing our searchlights here, there, and everywhere, seeking more ideas to beget new inspiration. Neither the extent of the knowledge we have gained up to now, nor the capacity of our talent, is one half so vital as our driving power. Enthusiasm turns ideas, plus interest and ambition, into wholehearted effort that adds zest to life. We should follow every task with a sense of expectancy and all the ardor of which we are capable. The man who wishes to make his follow-through effective will not do so by timid and tremulous ways. He needs to be able to stand up to buffeting and setbacks. People are born with different degrees of courage, but every natural disposition may be improved by training and exercise. There will be discouragements. In fact, it is generally true that life seldom gives us any more than just that degree of encouragement which suffices to keep us at a reasonably full exertion of our powers. Following through is a series of recommencements, some of them after defeats, so that each tomorrow finds us farther than today. In starting to follow through, after 3 years of independence, let each man weigh work against pleasure. Lord Beaverbrook advised this in his book, "Don't trust to luck. Let the leaning be toward work." A man will come to less harm by overworking than he will by overplaying. Loafing is not fun to the man of spirit. He knows that the strenuous life gives him as rewards not only the necessities but the happiness he desires. A man may misrepresent himself to you in many ways. He may sparkle at parties, though he be dour at home. He may be the soul of discretion in his service club. but gossip meanly over the car table. He may have a front of culture, but be niggardly in spirit. But he cannot deceive you in his work. There is the fruit of his life, of his hands, of his mind, by which he may be truly judged. A piece of work may be tested by three questions. Does it please the person who did it? Does it satisfy the person for whom it was done? Does it accomplish the purpose for which it was done? If these can be answered yes, the job has added grace to the doer, the recipient, and the work. The job we do should be a part of our follow-through in the direction of still more polished output. Again and again we are tempted to relax, to look upon some position we have reached as a place where we can feel secure. In it we have achieved a reputation, a satisfying amount of worldly success. Its appeal of sensuous ease tempts us to delude ourselves into believing that this is the point for which we started from the golden milestone. It is possible for us, on any plateau of achievement, to retire from competition and the noise of society, to weave ourselves a triumphal garland of inactivity, and to fly the banner of mediocrity. This is something for the person with ambition to guard against continually. To give in to the temptation marks the end of his follow-through. Doing at once what there is to do inevitably increases the probability of success. While we may see dimly what lies at a distance, we must do what lies clearly at hand. As a proverb has it, the best way to peel a sack of potatoes is to take one potato at a time and peel it. Everyone knows people who are strong in this or that way, physically or mentally, in theory or in practice, who disperse their efforts over many objects and fail to achieve perfection in any. It is not so generally appreciated that a person who is weak may, by concentrating his powers on a single object, accomplish greatly. When should we start? On our present job. Or on one we hope to get? Forthwith is a good word that has gone out of style, but it has the imperative ring needed here. Plans are useless unless steps are taken to realize them. Time does not pause for our delays. It waits for nothing before moving on to the next chapter. And it is in the present chapter that we must prove our right to be represented there. If you doubt your ability, get busy to test it. A prominent man gave this advice to a youth starting his business career. Do the wise thing if you know what it is. But anyway, do something, the wisest thing you know. This may seem to be reminiscent of Nelson putting his telescope to his blind eye as he sailed into the Battle of Copenhagen, or of the ship's captain at Camperdown, who, unable to read a complicated signal, flung his signal book on the deck and ordered, "Up with the helm and get into the middle of it." These may strike you as being old-fashioned maxims, but even in these days, there are ancient principles which cannot be disregarded with impunity. What is advocated is not recklessness. Deliberation and analysis are, in risky situations, positive approaches to dynamic action. Tidy up your problem so that you can decide quickly and with certainty what to do. Analysis is the foe of vagueness and ambiguity and hesitancy. You may have to invent or make the tools of progress, or even wrestle along without them. Aristotle was an astronomer without a telescope, a biologist without a microscope, a chemist without a laboratory, and yet for nearly 2,000 years his conception of natural phenomena ruled science. A lot is said about learning by experience, and experience is a good thing. But if hard personal lessons can be avoided by studying the experiences of others, why not avoid them? He is an unhappy motorist who becomes an expert driver by his participation in many highway accidents. He is an unhappy businessman who does not learn except by becoming many times bankrupt. The intuition which prompts the decisions and actions of many businessmen is the product of a large store of memories of previous experiences, their own and those of others, which can be linked in a meaningful way with the present situation. You cannot wait through the tedious processes of learning by personal experience how to answer the questions, what shall I do and how shall I do it? The principles on which you may base your answers in science, business, or the arts are to be found by reference to the past, just as much as in today's trial and error. This does not mean that we are to live by the past, but only that we should look there for anything that will make our way more certain. Going onward is the only way to gain practical acquaintance with the full color, flavor, poetry, passion, and variety of life. By making use of the knowledge our forefathers gathered and applying it in such form as to fit today's changed environment, we can face difficulty with stout hearts. Only a little bit more knowledge than others have, just a little bit more effort, merely a trifle more fixity of purpose and determination, can turn an apparent minus into a plus in business, as in sport, and in building a worthwhile citizen for our growing nation. And now a prayer for our land. Our Father, we pray for this land. To thy glory was this island established. For the advancement of the Christian faith did men and women give their life's heritage passed down to us. Thou didst bless their efforts. Thou didst bless Barbados. Thou hast made her beautiful. Wilt thou also make her good? Make us, the citizens of this land, want to do the right things. Make us long to have right attitudes. Help us to be Christian in our attitudes. Let all that we do and say spring out of understanding hearts. Make us willing to seek moral objectives together, that in united action this nation may be resolute for righteousness. Bless those who bear responsibility. May they be led by thee to do that which is right, rather than that which is expedient. Illumine the minds of management as well as labor, that there may be an end to selfishness and greed, to the stupidity of men who are unable to find in reasonable agreement solutions to the problems that plague progress.